Welcome back, everybody. Today we have Kimberly Cunningham, a board-certified nurse practitioner, and we are going to go over functional medicine, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to the FastFit Podcast, where exercise meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of FastFit. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back, everybody. In today's episode, we are going to get into functional medicine. Kimberly, thanks for being back with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like our members are going to be like, can you just make all the episodes with Kimberly forever going forward?
Thank you.
And of course, the answer is probably no, but we are so blessed and honored to have you here. So we left the last episode kind of talking a little bit about functional medicine, and we've talked about it kind of in the both episodes. Let's just go into that today. What is it? How is it defined? And how does it look at your clinic?
So it's still being defined. Okay. That's okay. So functional medicine, if you go back in time, you know, the it used to be bad humors and leeches, right?
Bloodletting.
And then in the 1940s, oh my gosh, here's penicillin, right? And so now we have this way to treat infections. And so then there was this, you know, almost a century of what we call name, blame, and tame healthcare.
Name, blame, and tame. By the way, sidebar, this is so random. Have you ever seen the show The Nick? It was like about New York hospitals.
Watch television.
I know. It was in 2016, so you've had some time to do this. But anyways, it's called The Nick. It's about hospitals in the 20s and just how crazy things were back then. So it's wild. Anyways, I digress.
Florence Nightingale, one of her biggest things was wash your hands and cut down infection rate.
Wild.
And people started surviving because she got people to open the window with some fresh air and wash the hands.
Yeah, we had no idea about.
And it was revolutionary.
Germs, yeah. Crazy. So what'd you call it? Name,
blame, and tame.
Okay.
So you want to diagnose it and prescribe something to treat it. And that was and is a bulk of what you learn when you go to healthcare school, whether it's nursing school, nurse practitioner school, PA school, MD, DO, psychiatry. So much of that is identify it so then you can prescribe the right solution, which is go to Walgreens and get your bucket of pills.
Purchase something.
So that is Western medicine. Mm-hmm. Now, Western medicine does some things very, very well. Trauma is really well treated in the United States. If you're going to get hit by a truck, you want that on U.S. soil because nobody does trauma better than the United States. Mm-hmm. Seriously. What? We can Humpty Dumpty you back together better than any place else in the world. When it comes to longevity and living a long life, and having functional wellness throughout that lifespan, mm-hmm. we're not very good at it. We can drag you into your 80s and 90s, but doing so in a way that you're walking, talking, living independently, maybe still having sexual activity in your life, able to do the things that you want to do, travel. Mm. Our ability to do that in the United States is very poor when compared to our counterparts across the pond. Functional medicine came out in the early 90s. Okay. And first, the first group to come out was IFM, or Institutes of Functional Medicine. And the IFM, and then within, I believe it was 2 years, so by 93 or 4, A4M was also established, which is the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine.
Okay.
I don't love the term anti-aging. I like aging. I think we should still be alive. That would be great. But you get the...
This whole health span versus lifespan thing is probably a better analogy, I think.
Yes.
Than...
So the most we can probably get out of the machine that is the human body, if you look at it that way, is 100 years.
Okay.
There's been some outliers. That woman in France, she may or may not.
17 years on the
122, I think, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's some murkiness about whether or not it was her daughter that assumed her persona because she had a free apartment in Paris.
Wild.
So like.
What a cool story if that's the case.
Right. You know, so I'm sure there's a movie about it.
Yeah.
But either way, 100 is a great number to strive for. And if you look at Dick Van Dyke. He's 101 now. And, you know, over the holidays, he was out on shows and he was giving interviews and, you know, he's happy. He's cognitively intact at 101, still dances and having this great life.
Yeah.
So we want to be that guy.
Yep.
Yeah. We want to make sure that if we're going to make it to 100, we have a brain that works, a body that works, and we're happy.
Yeah.
So functional medicine stopped looking at, oh, they have high blood pressure, take this pill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they have high cholesterol, take that pill. Oh, they have heart disease. We're going to do these pill combinations and maybe we're going to put some stents in. Now, if your arteries are blocked, we might need to stent them. But right. Why? Because they weren't blocked before. What went wrong?
Mm.
So functional medicine goes, okay, time out. We didn't have this 5 years ago, whatever the it is. So how do we go back physiologically to a younger state or a better balanced state? And if we do that, then does this disease process go away? And so it's still medicine, it's still nursing, it's still healthcare, but the lens, the focus is on where did it come off the rails? Can I get it back?
The root cause, and then reversing or fixing that root cause. Yeah.
And so here's one of my favorite examples is osteoporosis. So osteoporosis is age-related bone loss, losing bone density. And that's bad because if you fall, you're going to shatter. And if you think about bone, you've got, if you think about a Flintstones bone, right?
Yeah.
There's the bone shaft in the middle and the knobby ends. Mm-hmm. The knobby ends are called trabecular bone. And then the shaft in the middle is called cortical bone. You always want the trabecular bone more than you want the cortical bone. So if you lose bone density here, the knobby ends, you're going to cannibalize or steal it from the middle.
Hmm. Your body prioritizes that.
Okay. You'll fracture here, but the problem is probably here.
Interesting.
And so the trabecular bone, the ends, the knobby ends, that's where your muscle attachments turn into tendon and attach. And it's that pull, when you pull and you flex your muscles, that pull on the trabecular bone that stimulates the estrogen in your body to respond with, let's build some bone.
Wild.
So bone density loss is most often because you lost A, the testosterone to build the muscle in the first place, and then B, the estrogen to respond to that flexing muscle to build the bone.
Okay.
Men get all of their estrogen from testosterone through a process called aromatization.
Hmm.
You want to aromatize some of your testosterone, too much, and we have problems.
All the estrogen in men are the turning over of
100% of where you get your estrogen
comes
from your testosterone.
Wow.
Through that aromatization.
I probably should have done that, but it's cool.
Yeah, 100%. You don't have ovaries, so you don't produce estrogen.
Yeah. How do you know I don't have ovaries?
Well, I'm assuming. Without scanning your body, I guess I don't know. And women have ovaries, they make both.
Yeah.
So for you to get enough estrogen to build bone, you have to have enough testosterone to where your body is satisfied with your testosterone levels so it will give up over an estrogen.
I see.
So if your testosterone falls, guess what? Your estrogen falls too. Men have osteoporosis because they have low testosterone.
Wow.
Women have osteoporosis because they have low testosterone. And then low estrogen.
And we've talked about this piece in other episodes, so I won't go into it deeply here, but it sounds like it was the two part. Obviously, there has to be the stimulus, right? When you're talking about working the muscles.
You have to have the ask, and then you have to have the response.
The ask and the response, yes.
The testosterone is the ask. The estrogen is the response. And then you get bone density. And once you build the trabecular end bone first, then you'll rebuild the cortical bone in the middle.
Okay.
So here's where functional medicine comes in. For decades, we're going to do a DEXA scan. And as soon as she, which by the way, they weren't even checking men. Not a part of protocols. You should, because he's going to fracture too.
Right.
And a hip fracture, when it is not surgically corrected, most often that patient will not be alive in 6 months.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's a death sentence.
So sad.
Yeah. So if he or she doesn't have enough left in the tank, whether it's muscle mass or longevity, or if they're too frail to go into the surgery, they won't be alive in 6 months. So we want to make sure we have bones. So Western medicine for decades was scan the women, not until they're over 50. Remember, we lose our testosterone around age 35, women do.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we waiting so long to do DEXA scans?
This reminds me of the menopause thing. Let's just wait until we're pretty sure we're going to be able to prescribe them something.
Awful. We win a check.
Yeah.
So I do DEXA scans early on my patients. I get them every year. And so DEXA scans early. And so when that testosterone falls, we lose the ask. When the estrogen falls, we lose the response. However, Western medicine didn't do any of that. Western medicine said, we'll get a DEXA scan way late. And when she, only she at that point, has osteoporosis, we'll give her a bisphosphonate, which is a pill that makes you grow the outer shell of the cortical bone only. Mm. Didn't fix the problem. The problem is in the trabecular bone.
You're still putting a Band-Aid on the symptom for some amount of time.
And a bisphosphonate doesn't actually reduce bad outcomes and has this really fun bad side effect of esophageal erosions and cancer of the jaw.
This is the little quick speaking fine print at the end of the commercial that you're, Oh my gosh.
So functional medicine says, wait, why are we losing bone in the first place?
Right.
Okay. We know how we make bone, which is testosterone and estrogen. Might we have lost that?
Mm-hmm.
So let's measure that. Okay, look, we've lost testosterone in a man so much so we've lost the estrogen, or in a woman, we've lost both. So now we can replace what was missing, which is the testosterone and or the testosterone and estrogen. Then we can go back to fast fit and get a better ask,
yep.
which is the stimulus of the muscle to stimulate that trabecular bone to respond with the estrogen, and then we get cortical bone remineralization.
Whoa.
So functional medicine says, why did this go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
How do we fix it? Let's start there. And so I don't have anybody on a bisphosphonate, nor will I ever, because that's not the problem.
Yeah.
You never bothered to find the problem. So functional medicine says, okay, I see there's a problem. We all recognize osteoporosis is a problem.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can fix the solution.
It's like
that lens is applied everywhere throughout the patient encounter. Not just what is it,
right?
But why is it?
The same framework. And we've talked about in prior episodes, I mean, I won't do it here, but I've had my own journey working with getting sick, working with 7 Western medicine doctors. All of them wanting to give me a pill, or say you have anxiety, or say you're just going to have these GI issues forever. Finally finding some great functional practitioners and finding healing through that. And so, of course, I'm a huge fan of functional medicine in this paradigm, if you will. But you guys are, you and your clinic have a pretty cool and unique functional program that you're about to roll out.
Yes.
Or by the time this airs,
because
it's January right now, and this might air in March or something, it'll have already been out. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So for a long time, I was just a la carte. So these are my favorite procedures, and it's quickly becoming back to, can you be my primary care provider? Can you manage all of these things for me? And I kept saying, no. And then finally, about a year ago, I said, okay, fine, I'm going to build this program. So to be a concierge practice in Colorado, there are state guidelines you have to meet. So there's federal guidelines and state guidelines for being a healthcare practice that you have to follow. And then there's also just good medicine that you want to follow. So we spent a year developing all these relationships as well as building the system that will work for this. Knowing how to do it is the easy part. The logistical delivery of it has taken.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And so we have a program where it's a monthly fee. And once a year, we will do a very large extended panel of labs.
Okay.
And those are included. And then go through whatever we find in that and how we need to address those things, as well as we will order a very large expanded level of diagnostics.
Okay.
I like a DEXA scan. I want to get a calcium CT score,
okay,
which is to check the arteries of the heart. Is there any plaque or junk in the heart? I like it with IV contrast. So we'll order that once every 5 years or sooner, depending on what we find. I like a Cologuard every 1 to 3 years.
Mm.
I like a low dose.
Starting at which age?
Cologuard is 45.
45.
Or 10 years younger than your relative who had a problem.
Okay, colon cancer. Got it.
So if you had a relative that had colon cancer at 30, you're starting at 20.
Interesting.
Because colon cancer doesn't just show up. Mm-hmm. It's very slow growing. So that 30-year-old or 40-year-old or 50-year-old didn't get colon cancer that year.
Got it.
They got it years ago. Mm-hmm. And again, the sooner we catch things, the better the outcome.
Yeah, specifically in cancer. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in all things, but...
So the expanded diagnostics, there's a bunch. I like a low-dose CT scan. That's to check for lung cancer.
Okay.
The risk of a non-smoker getting lung cancer is pretty small. The risk of them dying from it is very high.
Mm. So it's worth the test.
You don't catch it until late.
Mm.
They weren't a smoker. We're not getting chest x-rays. We don't look.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sensitivity and the specificity really start to matter when you look at what's going to happen if you don't catch it. So I like one, and then maybe a year later, one more, and then we can start spacing it out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the Galleri test? And
yes.
What are your thoughts on it?
It's not my favorite.
Okay.
I don't think that the way that test is run is accurate enough to sleep well at night.
To be useful enough, especially for $1,000 or whatever they're charging for that thing.
And that price is...
It's crazy.
It's not good. So I think that blood testing for methylation SNPs mm-hmm. is a growing field and will get good.
Okay.
It's just not good yet.
It's early stage.
Yeah. And that one's not, they're not there yet. And they might get better.
Okay.
But as of 2026, we don't believe in the Galleri test and we don't offer it because it's not it's not there yet.
Okay, so then when it comes to cancer, you're really looking at these specific ones like colon and then lung, et cetera. Okay, what does this cost per month?
So our program is $119 a month.
Okay.
And that includes the annual labs, another hormone check in the middle of the year, because almost all of our patients are on some form of HRT. Yeah. Also includes two telehealths and the big annual visit going through, here's your plan, here's what you do for it. We go through adult vaccines.
Wow.
I don't just cut and paste the CDC guidelines.
Good for you.
That's not thinking. Mm. If it's a checklist, you don't need a board certified provider.
Mm.
So you're paying me for my brain. Let's use it. So I want to make sure that this medication is important to you or to someone else. What are your risk factors? What are someone else's risk factors? I'm very, very fond of a shingle shot or series. There's lots of data showing the reduction in Alzheimer's now.
Really?
With that one.
Wow.
But then there's sheer decision making on some other vaccines that may or may not be a good idea.
Okay.
Depending on where you live, depending on your risk factors. So we have conversations about those.
Okay, that's awesome. And then I think you were talking about this earlier. If you find something and it's something that might be out of your scope, you've got a program to kind of work.
We have specialists in the Denver area. Mm-hmm. So if you're in Denver, I have someone who, let's say we find something on a cardiac CAT scan. I have a cardiology group that we've partnered with. There's a GI group that we've partnered with. There is a breast cancer group that is amazing and that we've partnered with. So these are specialty practices. There's a dermatology group that we love, that when we find something, you're not just in the wind.
Right.
You're with someone else who also has this functional medicine lens and wants to look at you as a whole person, not just someone I need to drag through the next 5 years at all costs with no recurrence of the cancer.
Right.
We want to make sure that in 5 years, you're healthier than you are today, as much as you can be.
Right.
And so these are groups that we've found here that we really like.
They have the same thinking there.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
Mm-hmm. Really. And these are all non-Kaiser insurance accepting groups.
Yeah.
We really haven't done anything with Kaiser yet.
Okay.
But they're really their own microcosm.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. I love it. I think we could talk about functional medicine forever, and we've talked about it on some episodes, and this is such a deeper dive into it.
It's evolving because there's an international functional medicine certification process underway.
Huh.
And that will launch, I think, in 27, okay. Where there's all these different groups that you can be certified in, and all of them are going to be paths towards this international certification. So you can be a board certified dermatologist, you can be a board certified nurse practitioner who's adult in geriatrics. You have these board certifications you can get and extra ones. And so Functional Medicine International is coming.
I love it.
It's just not here yet.
Okay. And did you say that for most people, even if they're not in the Denver area, they can work with you on this program remotely?
Yep. You have telehealth and remote clients. The only thing that gets tricky, we've talked about before, is the testosterone.
Yeah.
Because that's a controlled substance and there's some federal laws about how to prescribe that. They may or may not be evolving as well.
Yeah, I know some people are excited about the potential there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Maybe by the time we get done with this podcast, probably
maybe,
not.
That'd be great.
Cool. Yeah, maybe great. Okay, so good. Thank you so much for this. I think this is going to add a lot of value to people when it comes to the functional piece. And I'll just drop a teaser here because we're going to go deeper in it in the next episode. But not only is Kimberly wonderful and she's a member of ours, but we are actually partnering with her in her practice when it comes to our new fat loss program that is rolling out sometime in March. So maybe you've already seen it. And so in the next episode, we're going to go deeper into that, some of the GLPs and these sorts of things. But it's worth mentioning here that even this functional piece, if nothing else, your clinic could give some great guidance for people.
Yes.
And help find them the right tools where they are and at least point them in the right direction.
And then if you're looking someone who is IFM certified, A4M certified, there are different functional medicine certifications. If they have them, they'll be on their website. They'll be on their business card. And that's something to look for.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'll see you on the next one. Thanks for tuning in to the Fast Fit podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at fastfit.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make exercise simple, empowering, and a part of a life well-lived. See you next time.